know you deceived me, now here's a surprise. I know that you have, cause there's magic in my eyes. I can see for... Hello friends, this is Out of This World Television with your host Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of Thurston County Television here in Olympia, Washington, in the United States, just outside Seattle. I'm very happy to have a wonderful gentleman for our interview today. His name is Simon Parks. He's a famous English politician who's been in touch with extraterrestrials his entire life. And Simon is one of the most interesting people I know. He's coming to us live this morning from England. And Simon, hi, welcome to the program.
Hello, Ted. Very, very kind of you to invite me. And I want to say hello to you and to all the viewers and listeners.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And before I forget, I wanted to give everyone Simon's website, too, if you'd like more information after this interview. It's www.simonparks.org. He was on my radio show yesterday, and you can listen to that at www.outofthisworld1150.com for the interview for June 24th from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Seattle time. But I found what he had to say so interesting, I wanted to invite him on my television show as well. And Simon, welcome to the program. I'm so glad to have you here today.
Thank you. Obviously, it's a great honor for me, and I'm very pleased.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I can't help but note, but you've had several cats in your with you there with the interview. And that's great because I love cats. And the mascot for my radio show and television show is named Fluffy. He's a big fluffy orange cat himself. So anyway. Well, Simon, tell us a little bit about your background. You have a most unusual background. Your parents were both in the British Secret Service. And yourself, you had a lot of contact with extraterrestrials growing up. Is that correct?
Yes, Ted, it is. My grandfather worked for the foreign arm of British intelligence, which locally we call MI6. But really, he was working for the CIA. Huh. And my mother worked for the domestic arm of British intelligence, which is called MI5. Mm-hmm. But really, she was working for the National Security Agency. Because both my grandfather and my mother were British subjects, they had to be managed locally by the country they were in. But all the reports, all of the work they were doing was being shared between the two countries. It was a very interesting upbringing. Very briefly, Ted, because we don't have long on your show, my mother's job was to type out, not word process, we're talking back in the 60s and 70s, uh-huh, on an old German Adler typewriter, documents that had come from German scientists, which were part of the Operation Paperclip, and these related to crashed alien spacecraft, which the American government had retrieved from all over the world. Mm-hmm. And these pieces or bits were sent to groups of scientists who would then be tasked with trying to work out what a device did, but more importantly, how it could be adapted for the time and the date that, you know, was around then. A quick example would be nuclear-powered underground boring machines. She worked on that. How to communicate with nuclear submarines that are actually under the ice pack. How to back-engineer the power plants from alien spacecraft. So these were all the things that he was on. So it was a very, very interesting lifetime as a child growing up. And, yes, I also had interactions with a number of alien species.
Could you explain a little bit about these alien species? What different types have you had interactions with?
Well, the very first one that I can remember, I would be in, I think what you guys call a crib. I think that's the word you may
crib,
use for
yes,
it.
Uh-huh.
We call it a cot, different words. And because I was very little and I couldn't actually physically sit up or move, so I was presumably under 6 months old, but I do have a memory of these legs. I'm looking through the bars of the crib and I just see these legs. Legs. I didn't understand color, but I know that it was green. So I couldn't add a word to it because I was too young. And I couldn't lift my head. So all I can remember at that stage were these really, really long legs. And then these hands reaching down into the crib to pick me up. And I remember looking and thinking, well, that's not the usual hands that pick me up. and then picked me up, lifted me, and then tipped me upright. And I can remember, because I hadn't got any control over my body, I remember my head falling forward and my chin hitting me here, and then looking into the face, absolutely held up in line with what in England we call a mantid, but you guys refer to as a mantis. And I don't know whether it's widely known, but when a grey alien makes a mind-to-mind contact, the grey alien uses waves from its head that just go everywhere, and some of them hit you. But when a mantis makes a connection, it does it through the optic nerve. So the connection you get through the, goes through the optic nerve to the brain. And that's why mantis always usually work with children, because if a grey starts to communicate with a very young child, it can basically fry the brain or confuse the brain. When the mantis does it, it goes through the optic nerve and can target the parts of the brain that they want. So I remember looking into these great big black eyes, which incidentally are just shields. They're just covers that go over the lenses. And the next thing I remember is I appear to be falling backwards. If you were to stand on the end of a cliff and fall backwards, it's that falling sensation. So that was my very first extraterrestrial or extra-dimensional contact. So it's mantis, followed quickly by reptilian, Conis, the white reptilians with the red eyes, what we call the feline species, what the American military, most of them can't pronounce it correctly, the particular species of feline they refer to as the Kilrotti, but that's because they can't say the word properly. American military refer to this group as the Kilrotti, but they actually refer to themselves as the Khetkari, and this is a group that appeared in Montauk. During the Montauk on Long Island experiments, Khetkari were quite prevalent before Montauk had to be shut down. So mantis, reptilian, draconis type, greys, I don't like the greys, robotic greys, feline species, crystalline species, which I've only seen once, but that was a fabulous experience. So quite a range of them.
What was the crystalline species? Were they based on a silicon-based life form, or did they have an? Was it a different life form other than what our own experience has been?
It was a crystalline formation. It appeared. It was like a round circle, and there were two eyes, and then it was slowly turning, and there were what you might call minerals, pieces of crystal floating around it, and then it could create a body. So it generated a body from the circle that actually literally just came down to the ground. So it could form appendages. But I think they were just to stabilize itself. It was, when it spoke, it didn't use its mouth, it communicated head to head. But the best way I can describe it was, I don't know if you guys know what toy marbles so it's play with marbles in your country? The glass balls? No?
I think so, yeah. Toy marbles, yeah. We know.
Oh, okay, yeah. Right. Well, if you imagine taking a handful of toy marbles and then throwing them into a metal pail or a metal bucket, that is the sound that it appeared to make. And then it takes time to decode it to actually translate.
Sure.
So, yeah, that was fabulous, that one. So, yeah, I've seen a few bits.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, about 10 years ago, scientists in Venezuela, in the highlands of Venezuela, Simon, discovered life based upon silicon. That it was in an area, a cliff area, that's been isolated for millions of years. And then they speculated whether life could be based upon silicon. So the questions about your crystalline structure are very interesting.
Just interesting. Well, they are, but I have a real problem with life forms based on silicon, because that to me is artificial intelligence, archon species.
I see.
And for me that is a total anathema to biological forms. So anything that's, because that was the Roswell, the whole point about the Roswell space crash for you guys was to seed advanced technology on your planet, on the planet, so that let me put it this way. If you have a secure room underground and you have lots of documents that are handwritten in ink, and they're in filing cabinets and they're locked away. If I want to try and steal those documents, I have to physically come into that room and open those filing cabinets and take them out. Right. But if I can get you to put all your documents on electronic information, then I can steal those from 100 miles up in space, and you have no idea of stopping it. So there's one reason why that type of technology was given to the planet, but the main reason was to create a environment where people began to rely more and more on technology and to rely less on themselves. So a silicon-based life form, for me, is something that is very anti anything created by Source and is a biological creature. This crystal being, I do not believe was made of that. I believe it was made of a more of a mineral type.
Interesting. That's just fascinating, sharing that. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I have so many questions, Simon, I'd love to ask you. One of them is, for many people, I've heard about the reptilians. I know a little bit about them, not a lot. From what you know, I remember we spoke before, you said that before that they are very advanced technologically, but they are in an evolutionary cul-de-sac where they haven't been able, they've chosen apparently not to to advance any further. I'd love to hear your comments on that.
Yes, most of the reptilians are service to self mm-hmm. rather than service to others. Mm-hmm. The reason they got to this position is because they became arrogant. Humans are mammals. I have a mammal body, and we change, we develop. So if the atmosphere changes or the weather changes over time, our physical body will adapt and change to it. But the reptilians cannot adapt any further. Now, I think that the mammals are strong because they can adapt to change. But the reptilians believe that that is because the mammals haven't yet found the top of the tree. So the reptilians don't adapt anymore. They can't adapt. So they're arrogant and say, we are the top of the evolutionary ladder. So let's just quickly look at, they come from the fourth dimension. If you think that's the top of the fourth and the bottom of the fourth, there are a lot of bad guys in the bottom of the fourth,
right.
And they are almost creating a universe within a universe. So it's impinging now because of the heavy, dense, negative energy these creatures create. It is bulging down into our reality, and that's why so many people on planet Earth are getting flashes or glimpses of strange things. Huh. It's because the fourth dimension is bursting through into ours.
Wow.
And now these guys aren't stupid. They know this is happening and they're seeking a way out. But until they change their belief system,
right.
they're not going to be able to change.
That's interesting. One of the things we talked about on my radio show yesterday, Simon, was that you said that different countries in the world are involved with different extraterrestrial groups.
Yes.
As one example, you mentioned that China had, if I remember correctly, the reptilians in the Nordics. They had with both of them.
Yes.
Is Russia involved with the reptilians, or are they? No, they're not.
There were in the days of the communist era.
Uh-huh.
I got into a lot of trouble when I started to support President Putin.
he seems like a good man. Yeah.
Well, I'm not suggesting that he's Snow White.
Right.
But I am suggesting that he is not going to be played for a fool.
Right.
And what you've got is in Russia now, they're just by a group similar to the Nordic type aliens who are at war with the reptilians. So therefore, they've given Russia technology, and I would suggest now that Russia is only 5 years technologically behind the United States. And that is why, over the business of Ukraine, America has backed off, and also with Iran, they were pushing for a war with Iran. They've backed off because the technological gap is so small now between the United States and others, it is not guaranteed they would win.
Well, and that's good. I don't think people in the world want another war anyway.
No,
I don't think they do. And this leads me to another question, Simon, and I thank you so much for your information today. What about our government here in the United States? I know that President Eisenhower, I mean, we've been involved since 1950, as you've said before. with the reptilians, with the grays. What kind of extraterrestrial influences do we have now, or have we had in the past?
They are the same, except they've been added to. The United States of America has always, since the Roswell situation, been actively involved with the grey alien races. Hmm. And at first, the U.S. believed that that was the race they were dealing with. Then it became obvious that the greys were the middlemen for something else. Mm-hmm. And this is when it became obvious that the reptilian group were manipulating the greys. And so then the American military had to go through another learning curve to understand. What is interesting, Ted, is mm-hmm. that the situation at Roswell, 2 weeks before that, these, I call them shuttlecraft, for want of a better word, were flying over Sands Base, and already the American administration knew what was going to happen because they dispatched their top padre, their top priest, to do a tour of all the military bases, and that was a week before the crash. Wow. So they were getting the men and women, but mostly men there, ready to face something that wasn't of this earth. Now, back in 1947, people were far more God-fearing than they are now. It was seen as quite a boost to have the top military padre to go around and visit them. Right. Now, that means that the American administration were already aware of what was about to happen.
Hmm. Fascinating. That's just fascinating. What about nowadays? Are they still influencing our government here?
Yes, the deal was struck in 1950, mm-hmm. And then in 1954, when it became apparent that the Greys were not honoring their side of the bargain, they were called to the table and basically refused to honor their agreement. And that is when, quite rightly, the American administration decided, and we use the term hell for leather here in Great Britain, mm-hmm. to go full steam ahead to get as much weapons back-engineered and do whatever they could to have some chance of defense. Because as soon as it was obvious that the Greys were going to distrustful, mm-hmm. then America had to defend itself. Now, every few years, newer contracts have to be signed. And right up until, including President Obama, has signed a renegotiation deal. So all of these presidents, bar JFK, were actively involved to a lesser or greater extent. You know yourself. Hello, Ted. Can you hear me?
Hello, my friend. Yes, I can hear
Hello,
you fine.
Ted. Obviously, somebody doesn't like me talking about American presidents.
Well, it's okay with me if you talk about American presidents.
Well,
and I think all of my camera
I'm glad, Ali, that that's occurred. And I hope you keep that in because it shows that we don't live in a free country. Every
right.
time we talk about something important
right.
Or, you know, then they just pull the plug on us.
Right.
And
exactly.
I think it's important that people appreciate what is happening. So I'm glad to get back and connect with you.
Good. Me too. You had a very interesting, you said something very interesting right now. All the presidents since Eisenhower have renegotiated this agreement with the Greys or the Reptilians, except for President Kennedy. And that leads me to ask you this, is that was he murdered because he wanted to expose this? He wanted to break off this treaty. Did he know about the reptilian influence in American government?
Yes, because when he was a young senator, or was he a young congressman? When he was a young senator, mm-hmm. He had actually had privy to some of the Roswell material.
Okay.
So he was aware of it. I know it's very fashionable to say that President Kennedy was murdered, and he was murdered, by his own side. It's very fashionable to say he was murdered because of the alien knowledge. I don't believe that's the full answer. I think it was mm-hmm. because President Kennedy was a good man mm-hmm. and was not prepared to be manipulated by the industrial military complex. And I think the alien situation was just one of many things. And of course, Edgar Hoover didn't like him, but the rank and file of the FBI supported Kennedy, but the CIA didn't. So it was very difficult situation for him, a very good man, and he paid the price for being good.
I've been in touch with President Kennedy on the other side for the past year and a half, 2 years now, and I've gotten many messages from him. That will be forming the basis of a new book I'm going to be starting to write this weekend. And when I finish
Excellent.
It, I will send you a copy for
that
your
That would
review.
Be wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. He was the only president in modern times who could not be frightened or manipulated.
Right.
And so, you know, that's why every president since then has done what he's been told.
Sure. Right. And in one sense, too, our free will as a people of this planet has been taken away. Because here in the United States, for example, we can elect many different people to office as president. But once they get in, even with the best intentions, I think there are forces there behind the scenes who try to control them and are successful in controlling them. So basically the free will of the American public and other people around the world has been taken away and controlled by this shadowy group. Who knows who they are, but I think certainly they're allied with negative elements like the reptilians to steer this planet, to steer the United States, Britain and other countries and the entire planet on a course that most people don't want to go down.
I think you're absolutely spot on. I can't even add any more to that, Ted, because that's 100% what I would say myself.
Sure.
Yes.
Sure. But I know that there are good things coming for humanity and that we are getting help from beyond this planet from a group called the Galactic Alliance, which are a group of benevolent extraterrestrials. And one of the things happening politically now is the vote that you had in Britain just a couple days ago about
Yes.
the European Union. I'd love your take on that, because here in the United States, our media, much of it's controlled and we get it very highly filtered. And I don't know, frankly, what the truth is, but I do trust your opinion and judgment. And what have you heard about the situation from living there in Britain?
Thank you, Ted. It's very kind of you to say that. Well, I can't expect Americans to really understand Europe full stop. But if I explain it that most of the separate countries of Europe all joined together to form a union, but unlike that you have in your country, this is becoming a one-world government.
Right.
So you basically have the United States on one side, you have Russia on the other, and then all of the other countries in the middle. And the British Prime Minister decided that he had to ask the British people whether they wanted to stay in this union, because he felt that there were lots of questions being asked. And the British Prime Minister was convinced that Britain would vote to stay in the union. Now, on Thursday, we voted to leave the union. Within 10 hours of that vote, the British Prime Minister resigned because he got it wrong. Have to elect a new prime minister within their own party. And it means that we will very quickly leave the European Union and we can no longer be called the United Kingdom. We will be called England, because one of our partner countries, Scotland, is actually saying it wants to stay in Europe. So we will no
really?
Longer be the... Hello, Ted. Simon here.
Oh, hi, Simon. They don't like you talking about this, do they?
They really don't. It's very common, and I'd say to people, and I hope you can keep these interruptions in, Ted.
Okay,
because
keep
I think
them in.
It's evidence.
Mm-hmm.
It's evidence. If I was talking to you, Ted, about, you know, the price of cars in America, we wouldn't have any problems at all. But because of the subject matter, somebody really doesn't want our conversation being sent to your audience. And in a way, if we never had the interruptions, then I would have to ask myself, am I causing the establishment a problem?
Right.
Or am I actually working for the establishment?
Right.
But because I get all these issues regularly, I know that I'm doing good work And, you know, it's nice to connect with you. If I may say so, you're a fifth dimensional person yourself.
Well, thank you.
And you're a very good person. And so I can understand why they would want to try and stop us talking.
Well, thank you so much. We have about a minute 30 seconds left in this segment, Simon, and I'd love to invite you on, if you don't mind, for another short segment after this one, maybe 20 minutes.
Certainly.
Or so.
No problem at all.
Okay, good. Well, so we'll finish up this. We've got about a little over a minute, and I'd like to give you the rest of the time. For those who are just tuning in, this is Out of This World Television, with your host Ted Marr, broadcasting from Olympia, Washington on TCTV, television. We're interviewing a wonderful gentleman named Simon Parks directly from England. And, Simon, I want to give you the rest of the time to please wrap up this segment. Have about a
okay,
minute.
Well, thanks, Ted. I'll just reiterate what I said, at the radio show. Basically, which was my message is to the American people. America is the most important country in the world. Mm-hmm. And I want the American citizens to be strong, to be clear about their rights, and to actually do things that are good for them and their family, and not to have fear. And if things get difficult, then to club together, share information, and support mm-hmm. each other. Mm-hmm. There are difficult times ahead, but the road is clear. So it's a positive message, but there are a few bumps on the way. So I just really wanted to confirm my friendship for the American people.
Thank you so much, Simon. And Simon's website, again, is www.simonparkes.org. We will be continuing this interview in a few minutes with a second segment. Thank you so much, Simon. Please hang on.
There's magic in my eyes. I can see for miles and miles.